Thank you, Mr. Watkins. Good morning. How did we get so many people in this little room? It's great to see everybody. I'd like to welcome all of those of you who are looking in on the webcast, watching today. Welcome to all of our guests. And I see you survived four below. We certainly have had some weather. We've actually gone from COVID to snowvid. We had snow and then ice and sleet on top of that. So unprecedented for us here in East Texas, but hey, we survived it. The one estimate that I've heard on all of this is like $50 billion in damages from Houston and the Gulf Coast all the way up. So truly unprecedented. So we go from a week ago Tuesday at four below to this Tuesday 72, and then 80-something yesterday, and then we had a threat last night of thunderstorms and hail. So welcome to Texas, right? It's amazing, crazy things that go on. Today, you know, for the message, the sermon, I have to thank Larry Watkins for the message that he gave. On January the 30th. If you haven't had a chance to hear it, I'm certainly going to recommend it because he gave a sermon on the 30th entitled Our Hope and Future. And Larry, you don't really probably recognize the fact that that was perfect timing, I would say. We're coming in with the election and the new president being installed and all of the social things going on. And it was really settling because it focused us back on really the important things, which is our future and the hope that we have and the kingdom that's coming. So, Larry, I'm going to be borrowing some of your scriptures today because I'm going to call this probably part two. If you're looking for a title for this, it's going to be entitled The Plans That I Have For You and The Plans That God Has For Each of Us. I hope we're all looking forward to the future and the things that are ahead, because when we can be a little depressed when we look out at current situations, family situations, problems that we tend to all be, you know, involved with. The church building, man, there's a problem there. And I was talking to Steve Rice, and he said he got a shock when he drove up to the church building and there was water running out that side door. It's like, oh no. So there was certainly a lot of damage, as we know, and every room was affected, as Larry's mentioned. But you know, I hope we look forward to the great things that are ahead for us. And today, I want us to look at that. Today, I want us to focus on that. I guess the question that I'd have for you is, what are some of the things you're hoping for? What are you hoping for in the future, in the things that are coming? Sometimes it's really hard for us to shut out all of the noise. I'm going to call it noise. All of the things that are going on around us. Sometimes it's hard for us, you know, to shut off. It's hard to shut off the news, but, you know, I think we have to sometimes. I hope we're staying out of it. I tell you where I draw the line on stuff is when I start getting emotionally worked up. It's like I got to stop because I can get worked up about the things that I see. So I think, you know, news is a bunch of noise. TVs can certainly be a bunch of noise. Conspiracy theories, that's a bunch of noise. There's a lot of things on Facebook that I read that are a bunch of noise. So I just have to shut those things out, and I want us to do that today, and I want us to just focus on the wonderful and great things that God has in store for us and that he has planned for each and every one of us. And, the democratic process, democracy, and the democratic process, I love the fact that we live in America and we have it, but you know what, democracy and the democratic process is not the ultimate solution, is it? Nope, it isn't. God's intervention is the only solution for us. That is the only hope that we have. It's interesting what he says. I'm not going to turn there, but you can write it down. He says in Acts 17, verse 28, that for in him we live and move and have our being. I think that's a really interesting thought, and it really is true, that in him we have our life, we have our breath, we have our being. Everything depends on who? On God. Everything depends on him. And it is God who sustains all things. It is God that has created all things. I love this planet that we live on. He has made it to, he's made a beautiful planet for us. We're able to, with wonderful eyes that he's made, to see wonderful things. I've lived in California and Oregon and all kinds of places, and Texas, and there's a lot of things to see and travel to a lot of places. God has just really made a beautiful place for us to live. And, you know, we depend on him for our every breath and for life. And honestly, we depend on him for what's coming, the future. We depend on him to receive all of the promises and things that we are hoping for. And, you know, it's interesting to think about. You know, he says, he mentions in over in Revelation chapter 4 that he has created all things, and for his pleasure they are and were created. Do you realize that you are created for God's pleasure? That we are, as the human race, you know, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And God has a plan for us, and it's really spectacular. It's awesome what God has in store for us. And I'm just really thankful for what God has in store for us. I'm going to talk a lot today about hope. I'm going to talk a lot about hope. Emily Dickinson had a saying about hope. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches on the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. It's an interesting thought about hope. Hope. How many of you ever saw the movie The Shawshank Redemption? Okay, most of you have. Well, in that movie, Andy Dufresne, who's played by Tim Robbins, he is in prison, and he has been accused unjustly of a murder that he did not commit. And he is going through all of the process of prison life. And one day at lunch, he's talking to his buddy Red, who's Morgan Freeman. And he says, you know, he says, I have hope. And Red says, hope? He goes, yeah, hope. The thing that is in your soul and in your heart that nobody can take from you. Nobody, they can't even take it here in prison. You can't take away hope. And I love that line. And of course, towards the end of the movie, Red gets out of prison too. And he hopes to see his friend Andy. And he hopes to see the ocean, and he hopes the ocean is as blue as he hopes it will be and thinks it will be. And so that inspired him to have hope. And I hope we're inspired because of the hope that we have. And so I ask the question, what are some of the things you're hoping for? What are some of the things that you're looking forward to? I have hope in all the promises of God. I know you can read that in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. That says all the promises of God are yes and amen. All of the things that God promises, he is going to fulfill, and it will come to pass. There's a scripture in Joshua. I won't read it, but it says at the towards the end of Joshua, when the children of Israel had finally reached the promised land and they had received all of their inheritances, it said that God had given them and delivered to them all the promises. There wasn't one thing that he had promised that he didn't deliver. And that's our God. And he cannot lie. And all the promises that we have will come to pass. And he will fulfill all of them. You know what? We see through a glass darkly. Today we're going to look at a few things, but I know we see through a glass darkly. What does that mean? To me, that means we just can't get the full spectrum of what's coming. But that's why we have faith, and that's why we have hope. You know, it says that in Corinthians. Now abides faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity, you know, love. But we, even though we can't see it specifically, let's just look at a few things today that God has promised us and things that he has in store for us. We know that without faith, it's impossible to please him. We have to have it. And I encourage all of us to be, at this time, a people full of faith, full of hope, and full of love for one another and for all mankind. Because it's that kind of love, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by the love that you have for one another. So those are awesome things. Over in just thinking about the things that God has in store, turn with me over here to the book of Romans, chapter 8. We're going to be back to Romans, I think, a few times. Romans chapter 8. I want to start reading here in verse 18, because as we read through this, we're going to recognize what Paul recognized. And Paul had hope, and Paul was looking forward to things that were ahead. So beginning here in verse 18, he says, I better look at my time here, make sure. Okay. Oh, there's a big clock. All right. Huh? Oh, okay. Oh, there it is back there. All right. In Romans 8, verse 18, it says, and I love this because this proves to me that Paul was from Texas or from the South, where he says, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Man, amen to that. What we're going through now is not, will pale into insignificance, and at some point, the things that we suffer and the difficulties we go through, going to be gone. And the things that we hope for are going to be so great that we won't even remember these things. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creature, it says creature, this is King James, but my margin says creation. The earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestations of the sons of God. I think that's you and me. Great things are ahead. And this creation is waiting just like we are, waiting for the manifestation and things that God is going to do with us and for us, in us and through us in his kingdom. It says, for the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You know, that's something to look forward to. That is what I'm anxiously awaiting. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Don't you? At times? Groan within ourselves because of the things we go through, but also I think we groan for what it says here, waiting for the things that God is going to do, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Yeah, I just anxiously look forward to that time, to that moment when those things take place. Keeping reading here just a couple more verses. It says, This is interesting. It says, "For we are saved by hope." You have hope? That's interesting. We're saved by the hope, by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? Yeah, if we see it, we can't really have hope because it's there. But hope that we have is that which we don't see. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And certainly, that's where faith comes in. You know, faith. Because faith is, you know, the assurance of things hoped for. It's the proof, the evidence of the things that we're hoping for. That's what Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says. And so, you know, faith is very important in our walk and in the life that we have. We have to have faith if we're going to please God. We have to have the faith like Abraham. I won't read it, but you can read over in Romans chapter 4 that he was not weak in faith. He was very strong in faith. so strong in faith he was willing to sacrifice his son, knowing that God, he had enough faith in God that God could resurrect him if, but God stopped that. We know that he didn't. But he had enough faith for that. The whole book and chapter of Hebrews 11 is a story of people with faith who were willing to suffer many, many things that they might receive a better resurrection. It's marvelous. It's marvelous. Abraham is mentioned in there as well. And, you know, all of the faithful. I kind of think that there are many more that keep, there are others that are not written in Hebrews 11 that are added to Hebrews 11, you know, which is all of us, hopefully, when we rest. But what are some of the things you're hoping for? I thought I'd just kind of throw out some things I'm hoping for and things I'm looking for today. I'm looking forward to eternal life. Are you? I wonder what that'll be like. Well, I don't know. I don't know what it's like to have a spirit body. But I look forward to that. I can't wait. I have hope in eternal life. And I know it's going to come to pass because God promised it. He promised it. He told us that in Titus chapter 1. He mentioned that we will have eternal life. I also look forward to the future when there will be peace. You know, where there won't be strife, where there won't be war, where there won't be, you know, an adversary, where there will be war no more. We read this a lot, I think, at the feast, Isaiah chapter 2, that talks, you know, about, you know, swords beat into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. And can you imagine a day when there won't be war? When there won't be killing? Wow. It will be a great day when the instruments of destruction become instruments of production. It's going to be awesome. We won't learn war anymore. I have also hope in God the Father and Jesus Christ setting up a kingdom that will never be removed. A peaceful kingdom that will be established forever. We read that in Daniel 2. In fact, I think we should. Just as a reminder, Daniel chapter 2. If I can find it in this Bible. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. This is a hopeful verse. I have hope in this. I'm looking forward to this. If I were to ask you, what do you hope for? You would all come up with, I'm sure, many, many things that will be added to what I have to say today. But hope, we have to have hope. It says in verse 44, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand for how long? Forever. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to God and Jesus Christ establishing that kingdom. I also have hope that I will be like God. Have you thought about that? That you will be like God? You know, we have a scripture that talks about that over here in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. It's going to be amazing when we are resurrected and we have a spirit body and we are like God. In 1 John 3, beginning here in verse 1, I just want to read the first three verses. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We're also called heirs and joint heirs with Christ. It mentions that in Romans chapter 8 again. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Interesting, if you find yourself considered weird, because of what you believe, or different because of days you keep, because you follow the things of God. Well, that's okay, because that's been going on for a long time. But it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. Now, I guess that means to me that we just can't see what that means. We haven't reached that point yet where we're able, doesn't appear what we, it isn't, hasn't been revealed to us exactly what that will be like. It doesn't appear, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Now, be as he is, be like him. Now that, you know, there's, what does that mean? Does that mean that we will just, is it just the physical appearance that will be spirit beings? Or will it, does it also include the fact that we will have his nature and his character and will be like he is that way? That we will be like God in characteristics and character and in love and all the things that he has called us and promises us that we will be like. That's pretty exciting to me, that we shall be like God. And every man that has this hope within him purifies himself even as he is pure. Well, that tells us that even a further characteristic of God, that he is pure. He is, you know, perfect in all, everything, every way that he is. I also have hope in the sacrifice of my Savior, Jesus Christ. I have hope in that. Because it is through that sacrifice, God was willing to sacrifice his son, and Jesus was willing to die for us so that we could have our sins covered, and that we could have a restoration of a relationship with God, and that we could have our sins forgiven, and we could become the sons of God. I have hope in that. I look forward to that time. I am so thankful for mercy and for forgiveness. You know, it does say that his mercy endures forever. I think we've even sung a song about that. It's a good thing, because some of us, I think, really try him, right? It's a good thing that his mercy endures forever. I also have hope in another thing. I have hope that all of the divisions and breaches that we see, not only in the country, but in the church, will be healed one of these days. You know, here we are. Look at us. We're, what, 20-some people here today. And we have divisions of the church and different organizations of the body of Christ. One of these days, it's all going to be put back together. I don't think any man's going to do it. I think it's going to take Jesus Christ, who will have to heal all those things. But, man, I look forward to that time. I can't wait for that. I have hope that whatever might divide us here today would be healed. I hope that we will strive to keep loving one another, and that we will strive to keep forgiving one another, and that we will continue helping one another, and that we will continue caring for each other. Not only here, but in the body of Christ, because that is the characteristics and the things that God is doing, the things that he wants. I have hope in that. I look forward to that. I have hope in another thing, too. We've kind of somewhat touched it, but I want to go back here to Romans chapter 8 and read something, because I get excited thinking about the future. I get excited thinking about what it will be like to be in the kingdom. I get excited thinking about what it will be like to be resurrected. And we have a promise here, and I have hope in this, of what it says in Romans chapter 8. I want to read verses 10 and 11. It says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you." That is, okay, so we believe and we know that Jesus Christ was resurrected. And we also know that we have his spirit. And so we have a promise here that when we die at the resurrection, if that spirit dwell in us, then he will resurrect us like he resurrected Christ. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty awesome. I have hope in the restitution of all things. I look forward to that. That God will restore everything and put it back in the way it should be. Like it was, honestly, I think, before Genesis 3. Like it was, you know, in the garden. I look forward to a time like that. I kind of think and believe, you know, in Revelation 21, and when it talks about a new heavens and a new earth, that that's what we're looking forward to a time like that, when there won't be any influence from somebody that we, you know, that has influenced us all, talking about Satan, our adversary. And I have hope in the day when our enemy will be removed and destroyed forever. We read that in Revelation chapter 20. We read about that. We read that the devil that deceived the whole world was cast into the lake of fire. Then he won't be anymore. I have hope that the kingdom will be as great as I hope it will be and believe it to be. I have hope that it will be the most awesome thing that we have ever experienced, especially after the removal of Satan. I also have hope in the day that God will dwell with us. Have you thought about that? God will dwell with us. Revelation 21 says that. I think we ought to read that. Let's go read that. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 2 says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven." I have hope in that. You know, that's our city. That's the city where we will dwell. "In my Father's house are many mansions," is what John says, John chapter 14. "New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" Have you thought about what you will do when you meet God? What are you going to do? Have you thought about what you'll do or what you'll say when you meet Jesus Christ? I've had several different thoughts about this. You know, one is like, I want to run up and grab him and hug him. And then another part of me says, maybe I better kneel down and worship him, you know, and honor him and love him that way. You know, kind of like Revelation 4. So I don't know. I hope the Spirit moves me to do the right thing at that time. But hey, we'll get to meet God. We'll get to see him. You ever have any questions you want to ask God? Ever had any things you've wanted to find out about why he did things a certain way? Maybe we'll get a chance to know all those things. But hey, we get to be with God forever. Forever. And we're gonna get a chance to spend eternity and be involved in things with him that we have no plan, no idea of the plans that he has in the future. But God has existed for all eternity, and he has never done nothing. He's always been busy doing something. So I know that we have things out there that he will be doing for us. There'll be a future. Well, maybe not for us. Maybe that's stated incorrectly. He will always be doing something, and we will follow whatever it is that he has and what he's planning to do. But I really look forward to meeting God and being with him. I also look forward to, Morris, I say this specifically for you, to the time when death is destroyed. There'll be no more death. And we'll see Linda again. Don't you look forward to that? I know all of us look forward to you know, loved ones we've lost that we'll get to see again. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I look forward to the time when there will be no sorrow. No tears. It'll all be wiped away. And because we have that hope and we look forward to those things, we're not really worried about things that are going on around us or circumstances that confront us, because we know that God will lead us and take us and always be with us. He promises us that. He told the children of Israel that back in Deuteronomy chapter 31. I'd encourage you to read that at some point. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be with us. I skipped over the scripture that you read, Larry, which was Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. And I'll read this. This is out of the NIV version of this. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and to give you a future. That's pretty good. That's wonderful. Because we have hope, we will not be worried about things that are coming. I'm going to encourage us that. Don't be worried about what's coming. There is going to be a lot of things that may change in our lifetime, and that's okay. We may lose our freedoms. I hate that, but you know what? That's okay. Because we have to recognize things have to change from the way they are now to bring us to a new age. It just can't. If we think, you know, that we're just going to live this life, and we've lived a wonderful life in America for so long, and then tomorrow it's going to be the kingdom, I kind of doubt it, especially when you read all the scriptures about the time of Jacob's trouble and things that are coming. But it's okay. I don't worry about it because I trust God. I don't worry about it because I know He will take care of us. I don't worry about it because I know He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And even if we encounter such difficulties that we end up dying, it's okay. We wouldn't be the first. Just read Fox's Book of Martyrs of those that knew it was okay. It's okay. Whatever's coming is going to be okay because God will take care of us. And it says all things in Romans chapter 8, it says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And He will do that. He will take care of us. He will do that. I want to read four verses as I wind up here. I want to read four verses out of Ephesians chapter 3. Very encouraging, I think, to me. They're very encouraging, inspiring words. I want to read Ephesians chapter 4, 14 through 21. Very encouraging words. Beginning here in verse 14, you know, I'm thinking about the hope that we have, the future that we have, thinking about the promises that God has made, that we are really in good hands. We're in God's hands. Can't be any better hands to be in than God's hands. Can't be anything better than to be following God, following what He has set forth for us to do, and never... And it can't be any better for us than to prepare for the things that He has in store down the road. But verse 14 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, grant each of us here, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That is a great prayer. I look at this as a prayer, and I certainly pray that for all of us. I pray that for myself as well, that we would all be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And you know, He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There's nothing we have to fear. There's nothing we have to be in terror about. You know, it does say, fear not him that kills the body. We don't even fear that. Fear him that can kill both soul and body. That would be God. We have to have respect for him. But that we would be strengthened by might in his spirit, by his, in the might of his, that we might be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Remember, faith, hope, and charity. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height. I kind of think this is what I'm thinking about today. I really want that, to comprehend, you know, the breadth, the length, the width, and the height of the things that God is doing, the things that He is doing. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's a pretty powerful set of verses when you really think about that. That is such, to me, encouragement and hope for what is ahead and for what God has planned. And we have to be His representatives here in love, not fearful. We have to be His representatives here in all ways, and in all aspects. And we have to be strengthened in order to do that by His Spirit. I'm really thankful. That's one thing I haven't mentioned. I am so thankful for His Spirit. Are you? I mean, it does say that without His Spirit, we can't comprehend the things of God. It's like the greatest thing in the world, if we understand the things of God, that is wonderful, because you know you have His Spirit. That's just tremendous. God has blessed us so much. We have so much to look forward to. He is going to do great and marvelous things that we have beyond our even wildest imaginations. That's what 1 Corinthians 2 says. He has prepared things, you know, beyond what we can comprehend. So I'm excited. I'm excited about that. And I want us to read Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, which says, and I believe that we, knowing all the things that God is doing, all the great things that He has planned for us, all the hope that we have, that we should be able to say, yeah, I have this confidence. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing. Do you have this confidence? That He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you have that confidence? You know that? If He's begun something in us, which He has, He will accomplish it. God is good. He will accomplish all that He's promised. Last verse, Hebrews chapter 6. Hope is so valuable and so important. In chapter 6 of Hebrews, verse 18, 19, and 20, it says, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled to refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Yep, it's something that nobody can take from us. It's something that's here. The hope that we have. And along with it, we have the realization that God will fulfill all He said. It is the anchor of our soul, for both sure and steadfast, which enters into that which within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made as high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So, as we close, any of us who have ever struggled to plant our feet on the floor in the morning, knows that life can be hard. I think we all recognize that. We all realize it. Life is stressful. Anybody here deal with stress? Anybody? Life can be stressful. It can be overwhelming at times. But each of those negatives, less than optimal feelings that we all encounter, actually immediately take a back seat to the inspirational power of hope. To be without hope is to be without goals. What are we working towards? What are we looking forward to? There's always hope for a new day. There's always hope that the darkness won't always be impenetrable. Sometimes people are bothered by dark. There's always hope because our Redeemer lives. Encouragement is the fuel of hope. It's true that people become what you encourage them to be, not what you nag them to be. Let's encourage each other to be the best that we can be. And let's encourage each other to have hope. I have hope, and I hope that you have hope in the same hope that I have. The back of the book says we win and that God performs all He's promised. So let's all have hope and let's win with God.